is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
Welcome to Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. This is Malcolm O'Dowd. You know, ironically, friends, it was never the Russians we needed to fear. It's our own stupidity, huh? You know, we have many factions right here in the U.S. that are attempting to change the outcomes of these elections, it seems. Yet all this time you've been hearing about the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. It's pretty laughable at this point, isn't it, huh? Well, there are two big factors that I want to talk to you about today that will have a major impact on future elections. This is important, people, so you need to listen up to this now. The first, our education system. It's in a heap of trouble. The second, our immigration policies, or lack thereof, huh? You know, these, what I talk to you about right now, these will impact the country you love in a big way. So we all need to get on board here and understanding the problems, first of all, and then get serious on how to change the trajectory of a future that I don't think anybody really wants, but a lot of people have blinders on, and we need to get with it here. Let's get to our top stories on Viewpoint here, please, and welcome on Ilana Friedman. She's a veteran intelligence analyst specializing in terrorism and politics. She trained in Israel. She's an advisor to law enforcement and global corporations. She's authored four books. She's a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. You'll get all her write-ins back on the platform, friends, and her books are in the bookstore, so check that out. Dr. Ron Martinelli is here. He's a retired police detective with a background in investigations, forensics, psychological profile, and human factors, violent crimes. He's a national voice. Many people refer to him as the expert's expert for a reason. Again, he's got, you got to see, check out his book as well on the bookstore. And he's a columnist and a show host here on America Out Loud. Two big voices here, friends. Let's get started here. So the real constitutional crisis, we've been hearing those words a lot. I mean, really, it's going to be a constitutional crisis. Every politician throw that out like a frisbee when they want to, you know, prioritize their problem of the moment. But the real constitutional crisis, friends, is in our election system. Russia isn't messing with our election system. It's the bureaucrats right here in the United States that are messing with the election system. You don't have to go to Russia to find the imbeciles who are doing that, people. It's right here in Florida, Georgia, Arizona, all over the place. You know, when you think about it, had the president not got out there on the stump as much as he did, what would have happened? I wonder what that outcome would have been. Ron, let's start with you, sir. It probably would have been a landslide. I mean, I think the Democrats would have won big if Trump hadn't been out on the stump as much as he had been, huh?
Well, yeah, and it just shows the division in our nation. But, you know, speaking to the topic of elections and what has gone wrong, it's sort of a combination of having incompetent people in critical posts like election commissioners. The most important thing, the most important right that we have as American citizens is the right to vote. And when you corrupt that right, either by actual corruption or you have incompetent people running the system, which is our most important system of democracy, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, no, that is very accurate. And we've got these problems right now. Ron, what do you think about having, this is a constant argument, but what about a voter ID card, like a chip-based program? I mean, we got it in our Visa and our MasterCards with our pictures. And I mean, we take all of that serious, but we don't take voting serious enough. Don't we need more of a serious database at this point to think about this a moment now. Everybody, just think a minute. Amazon. Okay, they can process millions of orders like on an hourly basis and get them to your home correctly. I mean, all with their systems, right? I mean, we got credit card systems that are all kinds of crazy things. Yet we don't take voting serious enough. What about a national voter ID card?
Well, I don't know if you need a national voter ID card. Let me discuss Texas for a minute, where I live. And obviously, I just went through the voting process. We have mandatory voter ID. There's a vetting process when you walk right in through the election door, and they take a look at your driver's license. They double check it against the voting rolls, and you're good to go. I absolutely agree with you when you make the analysis and compare and contrast Amazon versus the way things are going here. You know, Amazon is a multi-billion dollar corporation. It's its own country. And they put their money behind where their product is and customer service. And we need to do the same thing. So, I mean, you know, I have to express my disappointment with current governor Rick Scott, who's going to be Senator-elect Rick Scott. And, you know, he was hit up by Fox News with some very serious questions as to how did this happen. And he totally dodged the questions. Look, you're the governor. You're in charge, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general. You're in charge of all those guys. If you can't fix someone like Broward County Election Commissioner Snipes, mm-hmm. you can't get rid of that person or start a process where you can force that person to resign. Then, you know, I'm not a fan. So it's the politicians behind this that need to stop talking rhetoric and need to engage in fixing the process.
Yeah, they wait till it's too long. And then when the problem is here, you can't fix it because it's in the current news cycle. So now you can't do anything about it. It's got to run its course. You're exactly right. Ilana, I want to come back to you on this. I think voting is a serious deal. I think it's also a serious problem in our country. And I think we're only at the tip right now of the iceberg of the fraud that we're experiencing that I think is going to grow by leaps and bounds in the years ahead. I don't think anybody realizes how big of a problem this is. I'm really serious. But what about now installing a national voter ID card? Why can't we all get behind this? Well, I mean, doesn't everybody want fair elections? I mean, certainly that's got to be the right of Democrats, Republicans, independents. Everybody's got to want fair elections. So what about that? Why not?
Well, I agree with you that I think we need a voter ID system so that we know who's voting and we know who should not be voting.
Exactly.
The problem that we have is that the voting system, the electoral system, which should not be political, is in fact highly political. And as we saw in Florida, Dr. Snipes, I'm not sure what she's a doctor of. Nobody seems to know that.
Lunacy.
But in any case, she calls herself doctor. But in any case, she has been systematically altering the results of Broward County elections. And no wonder she's been elected time and time again. I mean, that stands to reason since she controls the votes. But what she's been doing, she's been accused of doing, and she has not denied, destroying votes, counting votes that are illegible or not valid, finding. This time, last election, they found 83,000 votes after the election was over. This does not make any sense, but it is apparently something that is standard practice with her. And I would venture a guess that she is not alone in this country, that there is a lot of this going on. I am absolutely stymied by the fact that in this past election, there were so many too close to call outcome.
Yeah, yeah. Former Governor Jeb Bush came out and reprimanded her for these problems and suggested she should seriously resign after this election. She has sort of hinted to that now. I think she's really become under the microscope and she's talking about that now. But the problem is widespread. It's way beyond Florida. I mean, you're seeing this in a lot of states, a lot of these elections. And of course, once they're too close, the politicians don't want to give up, like the case in Georgia. She doesn't want to give up right now. She wants to keep fighting. Now, they say there's no mathematical way she could potentially win that race. Then she's trying to force a runoff. But at the same time, she's not giving up. So there's the problem. When you have all of these close races and there's nothing to really testify how serious, how accurate, how precise the vote is, you're going to constantly have these problems. And again, the division in the country, I can assure you, races, what we're seeing right now at this election, this is only, as I say, the tip of the iceberg, because races are going to be close from here on out. The landslide, those races that were like, you know, big spreads, those are gone. That's not going to happen in America anymore. You're not going to see these razor-thin elections. So, listen, I'm just telling you, I think it's time to get serious about the voting and knock this nonsense off. And I think we should force the legislators up there to put a national voter ID card and get serious about it. And I think we should hold them all accountable. I don't care what their stripe is. Just get it in play and knock it off. Knock it off. Tim, I want to go overseas a moment here, and I want to talk to you about this trip that President Trump just got back from France and with Macron, and there was it's kind of interesting what happened there. As the president was headed over there, Macron had put a tweet out there suggesting that, you know, they should go get their own army, their own military, what have you, to defend them against the United States and China and Russia. I couldn't believe what I was seeing and understanding that this was really happening, which made no sense. So Macron suggests building its own army to protect, as I say, Europe and what have you. And then the president puts out a tweet and says, the problem is that Emmanuel suffers from a very low approval rating in France, 26%, and an unemployment rate of almost 10%. He was just trying to get onto another subject. By the way, there is no country more nationalist than France. Very proud people, and rightfully so. Now, that's a tweet from the President of the United States. So now we're using the public forum and the medium to really slam foreign leaders, which is really an eye-opener. Now, some people can argue whether, you know, Macron is whatever he might be, or you like him or you don't like him. That's not the point here. You know, if you don't like him, then that tweet is more digestible, potentially. But that was quite something. What do you make of that tweet that the president, because it didn't stop there as well. I mean, he went on and he was on fire on tweets in the last couple of days here. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, one of the things that I see with President Macron is that he's just immature. And you've got this whole, you know, European versus the United States thing. Think of Europe. And I just came back from Europe. I spoke with a lot of Europeans. And, you know, Malcolm, I used to live in Italy. So, I know the culture. And what I find is if you were to take all those different European countries and put them together, they would be a United States, right?
Exactly.
Of Europe.
Exactly.
Okay, a United States of Europe. And so when Macron says something absolutely offensive and ridiculous, like, well, we have to form a European army because we're concerned about the Chinese, the Russians, and the Americans, my first comment to him is, listen, those aren't the armies that are going to come in and destroy France. It's going to be the Muslims that you have in your own country that have already done a lot of rioting. And so when we take a look at the history of France, and that's a problem with the United States, people don't have any context about history. They've forgotten it. Listen, the French will sleep with anybody. You don't believe that? Look back at World War II and something called the Vichy government in France, which was basically a Nazi, you know, the French getting in bed with the Nazis during World War II. Yes, we had the resistance movement. Yes, we had the Free French and Charles de Gaulle. But look at what the French did to themselves. And so, and this is on top of President Trump going there to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the armistice and the end of World War I. And like he said, and I love it because I've said it before, listen, if it hadn't been for the United States entering World War I and certainly being involved in World War II, they'd all be speaking German today. Yeah. So don't talk to me about nationalism. What he insinuates is that, and other people have done it before and currently, that President Trump, in being a nationalist, which he's proud of, pro-American, America first, it's some sort of neo-socialism.
Exactly.
Or, you know, neo, like white nationalism. Mm-hmm. They keep introducing the white supremacy, white nationalism, equating to the Nazi regime during, you know, the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Right. Well, they want to make him a racist. I mean, that's
their
whole goal.
Of course they do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. They've done that from the beginning, Ron. I mean, that's been their goal number one. You know, a couple of thoughts here. Everything you say, I like what you just say, because it's a great history lesson, too, to remind people, Ron, of what really happened and what went on. But the president he got under a lot of fire for this other tweet. I got to share real quickly with you here. Emmanuel Macron suggests building its own army to protect Europe against the U.S., China, Russia. We said that. But the tweet goes on. But it was Germany in World War I and II. How did that work out for France? Well, they were starting to learn German in Paris before the U.S. came along. Pay for NATO or not? Exclamation mark. Wow. I mean, Ilana Friedman, that was quite a tweet.
Well, isn't it true that they already have an army for Europe and they call it NATO?
that we subsidize more than they do.
That we subsidize. And by the way, I think Macron is wrong. He was equating or opposing nationalism with patriotism.
Right.
Those two terms are allied. Mm-hmm. They're not opposites. The opposite of nationalism would be globalism.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
What I think the president was trying to say was that he is a patriot and he believes in the supremacy of the national government as opposed to a world government where you no longer have control of your affairs. And well, I think he's right. I agree with
that. And that's a great point, Ilana, because that was really the United States was moving far more towards a globalist entity over the past really 20 years. I mean, and I'm talking about Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush. Just bring it back. And everything was sort of a global movement that was going on really over the past 20, 30 years now. So, yeah, I mean, that's a real conversation. You know, very interesting. Again, just to bring it to everybody's, I just want to remind everybody right now, again, Twitter is a double-edged sword. I love the way the president uses it in some cases to be direct and communicate with the American public. Don't get me wrong. I think that's a great thing. I think you have to be very careful and sensitive when you're slamming foreign leaders and you're doing other things that can be nefarious on Twitter, because it could come back to be a real problem and a big scandal that I don't know that we want to jump onto. But another couple of tweets that I really liked, you know, the media was all over him for not attending this ceremony. That became the big headlines were all over the place. I couldn't believe it when I was reading the headlines. And the first thing you would think about is like, why would the president do that? Why would President Trump not go to this significant ceremony? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Well, the tweet, he puts it out, he clarifies. I appreciate him clarifying this. By the way, he says, when the helicopter couldn't fly to the first cemetery in France because of almost zero visibility, I suggested drive-in. Secret Service said no, too far from airport and big Paris shutdown. Speech next day at American Cemetery in pouring rain. Little reported, fake news. So again, the president is slamming the media back for getting it wrong. He goes on with another tweet. The story in the New York Times concerning North Korea developing missiles bases is inaccurate. We fully know about the sites being discussed. Nothing new here. Nothing happening out of the norm. Just more fake news. I will be the first to let you know if things go bad. I love that tweet. Love that. That's one of my favorites right there. That's a classic, you know. I will be the first to let you know if things go bad. Now, that's a reprimand to the media. Now, in this case, I love these tweets here. Anyways, you get the point, people. I need to move on and talk about Israel a moment and Gaza. Ilana, I want to go to you on this here. My head is about spinning on this confrontation. So the missiles were flying. At one moment it was peace. I thought, oh, great, we're going to sign another peace. Oh, that's what, the 2,082nd time we've had a potential peace thing? Oh, okay, maybe this is for real this time, Ilana. I can't wait. And then it goes from peace to missiles flying, people dying, destruction, what have you. And I'm thinking, what the hey is going on? And now you see the defense minister is resigning. He's calling for elections. Netanyahu's under fire because he signed the peace thing. Do I got that all right, Ilana, or what did I miss, love?
No, you haven't missed anything. But the history is so specific, and so clear. There is no peace that is possible with Hamas. And all you have to do is read their charter. Their charter calls for the utter and complete destruction of Israel and the routing of all Jews from the land and turning the land over into an Islamist state, the entire country of Israel. So that's the first thing. Hamas will not come in good faith to a peace table at any time in the past, present, or future.
It's a joke.
They're not going to change. It's a joke. It's worse than a joke. It's a nightmare.
They want to annihilate. Is everybody hearing me clearly on this? You got the wax out of your ears? Are you hearing me? They want to annihilate Israel. That's the charter, as you call it, Ilan. That's the charter. How the hell do you deal with people that want to do that? And then we talk about peace
missiles. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm just ranting. I'm ranting. It's perfect.
The whole state of Israel is the size, actually slightly smaller than the state of Vermont.
Which should put everything in perspective to everybody. But, you know, at some point, facts have to matter. At some point, you have to get to the table and understand. I mean, where's the intellect in the conversation here? I mean, facts have to matter. Listen, last story I want to talk to you both about is Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary. A lot of talks right now that she's going to be fired. What kind of a job do you think she's done, Dr. Martinelli, on the border there? You're out in Texas there. How do you think she's done as Homeland Security Secretary, and should she be fired at this point?
Well, you know, I think she created a real problem for herself just a week or so ago when she was asked in regards to the caravan, you know, what would the military and the U.S. Border Patrol do if they were fired upon? And she said, well, we would not engage. We would not fire back. You know, supreme faux pas. You never tell the other side what you're going to do. Okay. And you never tell them what you're not going to do. And you just can't do that. You know, I'm reminded 1,700 people breaching our border every single day.
That's right.
On average, 30,000 people a month. Think of that. 30,000 people a month, 1,700 a day. Mm-hmm. So when you get people like former President Obama saying, oh, don't worry about the caravan, it's 200 miles away, mm-hmm. and Schumer and people like that, please remember that every single day, we're getting breached by 1,700 illegal aliens a day. And where are we going to put these people?
It's a caravan coming over every day, Ron, is what you're saying.
Exactly right. So, and you know, I do feel bad for Nielsen in one respect. And that is kind of hard to do something when you're Secretary of DHS, when you have no one supporting you in Congress and the Senate sitting on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
totally.
This is something that should have been solved a long
time ago. Yeah. Again, there are two big problems I said to you on the onset here that we're going to have to deal with. And the next one is coming up next, the education system. We have some educators coming on to talk about the indoctrination of young minds and what's going on in the educational system. You really need to pay attention here, people. This is vital, 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 vital information here. Big thank you here to Dr. Ron Martinelli and Ilana Friedman. We've got two big stories coming up right next, two big discussions. Stay right there as Viewpoint rolls out.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Glitcher News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, I dubbed this next segment, friends, the indoctrination of young minds, an education system gone awry. Now, that may sound like that we're concerned that there's a real problem in the education system, and there is. I told you up front, this is one of the two big factors that are happening in the nation that we need to open our eyes to, and we need to start to understand what the ramifications are, because there's a price to pay for all this ahead, I assure you of that. We're going to have a big conversation next on our education system across this great land and understand what's really going on. I'd like to bring on a panel discussion here, and please welcome to the show, Pastor Rick Stevens is here. He's a co-founder and co-managing director of Florida Citizens Alliance. Well, they're a grassroots group focused on finding solutions for improving K-12 student success in the state. Karen Schoen is here. She's an advisory board of that alliance, and she's a former candidate for Florida State House, retired teacher. She's a dean and small business owner. And she also has host of American Freedom Watch Radio. She's a speaker and activist. Looking forward there. And also joining us on this conversation, Phil Davis. Well, he's a columnist and a writer at America Out Loud, friends. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a political analyst and commentator. This is one of the topics that Phil's been most concerned with that we've been talking about over time, that he continues to bring to the airwaves and say, you know, we have a problem here. We need to be careful and we need to talk about it. Karen, I want to start with you. I'll put you right on the spot, love, because you sent me an email and you put something in the email that had my eyes double wide open. And I'm just going to read what you put in there, if you don't mind, and you can give me hell later on for this if you didn't like it. But to fix America, it's the curricula, stupid. Communism in, communists out. What's in your school? Explain that statement, please.
Well, when we have a group of people that are focused on only one side of an issue, and you snuff out any type of opposing issues, and that issue happens to be socialism, then how are we surprised that we have any other results of anything when half of our nation is immersed in socialism? And that's what they're taught. That's what they're taught to embrace. So we're teaching them to be socialists, and the goal of socialism is communism. So we're teaching them to be communists, and then we're surprised when they are.
Pastor Rick Stevens, I want to ask you, what's wrong when she says what she says there? What's really going on in our classrooms? And I want to speak in English terms here that people can understand out there. So we're not talking over their heads, but what should parents be concerned with? What's really going on in our classroom?
Well, what's going on is that people are getting, our students are getting a steady dose of idealism related to socialism. All of the ideals that people want to talk about in terms of a socialist approach to government, to the economy, are being reinforced day after day to our students without a balanced view of things or without explaining the consequences of a socialist approach to our lives. And that should concern every American, because this has real consequences to real people, to you and I, to everyone. And we need to be concerned, because when our kids are told this day after day, they believe it. We send them to school and tell them, listen to your teacher, do what you're told, pay attention. And when we reinforce that expectation in the teachers, the system, and believe me, there's a lot of good teachers. We don't ever pick on the teachers. But the system reinforces this idea of socialism, and our kids, that's all they hear. And we assume that at school they're being taught the whole story and having good, robust discussions about the advantages and disadvantages. But what's happening is only one side is being told, and our kids are the victims of that kind of indoctrination.
See, a lot of people hear that, Rick, and they hear socialism and communism, as you're saying with Karen and stuff. A lot of people hear that, and they think right away what people think, and I just want to say, they think it's a conspiracy, like there's no way that's happening in America. Like this Karen and Rick, they're so wrong it isn't funny. There's no way they could be right, because this is not America. We're not socialism, we're not communism, so clearly you two are fearmongers, and there's no reason this should be happening. What do you say to that, Rick?
Well, of course we're fearmongers. I mean, that's the demagoguing of all of these kinds of ideas. Mm-hmm. What I say to that is, it's a soft socialism that's a beginning to convince Americans that this is the answer to our problems. What people fail to realize is what starts as the old expression, the camel getting its nose under the tent, ends up with a pervasive system that has trapped people in ways they never imagined being trapped. And so, yes, we're trying to sound the alarm, because we have seen the consequences. We have seen what's happening as various political figures are gaining attention and support. Look at the elections that just passed. Mm-hmm. How many people seem to vote for people who advocate this kind of things, but people don't see the consequences, the end result.
That's it.
And I've seen it in person. Very alarming.
Rick, hold on. That's the key word right there. Now, let me just, 1 second, consequences. I just want you to hear what Pastor Rick Stevens says. Consequences. Does everybody hear that? There are consequences for this. Before I bring in Phil Davis into this talk, 1 second here, I just want to ask you something, and maybe Karen something real quickly, because this befuddles me, as you just say. Could you maybe explain to me, because I don't understand this, maybe you could help educate me. What is the attraction to these people, to socialism and communism? What would that, why do they want that in America, Rick? Why?
Well, I think they want it because they believe the ideals on the one hand, and they use that to convince people. But I think they want to control us. I think they want to be able to make the decisions as though they're some elite group of people that knows better than all the rest of us. And so they're going to order our lives in the way they think is right.
Wow.
The American idea was that we could have the freedom, the liberty, the opportunity to order our lives in the way we saw best. And it's absolutely opposite.
That's it, brother. It goes against everything of the fabric of America. And Karen, I assume you agree with that.
Yes, I do. And the real answer is they are being taught that free stuff, handouts from the government, is their right. So now the kids believe that 87% of our students graduating high school believe that the government should provide them with housing, a job, and health care, and pay for their college education.
Yeah.
They don't understand what freedom of opportunity means, freedom of destiny means. They're led to believe that they're making choices, but they're only making choices of what those have told them to choose from.
All right. Now, Phil, this is the battle of a lifetime. We hear what Rick and Karen are saying, and they're so well-spoken, both of them. I mean, they're sincere. They're very authentic. I hear what they're saying. I'm hearing the words. I'm hoping all listeners are hearing what they're saying. But I think this is a big problem, Phil, and which you've been kind of on the top there talking about this stuff for a while. But what are we going to do about it?
First, Karen is correct. The free stuff. That's the hook appealing to the individual, which is going to draw them in, which, just like in the old Soviet Union and, of course, China, where millions eventually died, it's a hook. It's a hook to draw them in to where the elite will be in power. And that's the bottom line. It's about power, and it's all it's about, power for certain individuals. Now, following back to why this is a super big problem as well, I was taking my grandson to his high school for the eighth grade here in Florida, and he said something to me that was quite alarming. He told me that the teacher in his class talked about socialism, capitalism, and how she would rather live under socialism. And then she asked the students in the class, would you rather live under socialism rather than capitalism? Everyone raised their hands except my grandson. Now, that was right in my face. And it should be in the face to America, because what's going to happen to these young people is tyranny. And they don't know it. They don't realize it. They don't have a base to realize it. And so the educational system must tell the truth historically, and they're not doing it. Case in point, 2002, Texas Public Policy Foundation found a textbook that talked about how socialism, which was much better than capitalism. So this has been going on for several decades.
What do we do about this, Karen? What can we do about it?
Well, one of the things that the Alliance has done, which I believe should be copied by every state in the country, is that we were able to pass a bill that gives any resident in Florida the right to challenge the textbooks. And that's the first step. And we have to challenge them, but you can't go in and say you're teaching socialism and you can't do that. What we have to do is challenge them using their own words. And that would be like, oh, you're teaching equality. How wonderful. Well, if you're teaching equality, then we have to have the equal time for the opposing conversation, which we don't have. So if you're teaching equality, you can't teach one side of an issue. So if we go back at them and challenge them using their own words, it gives them great horror because they can't define what we're saying.
Wow.
They have no idea. And once we go back, they think they're being equal. Sure, they're being equal. They're giving equal shots of socialism to every child. That's being equal.
I've been hearing a lot of talk about things like the omission of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, American history being left out. Now, you see this in the current day news cycle. I mean, they're tearing down statues and history in the nation, and they're laughing about it. It's kind of funny as they see all these things topple over and get smashed. It's kind of like what they're doing in Iraq right now, what ISIS has done in Syria and Iraq and a lot of these historical sites. And they laugh about it. It's kind of funny, Pastor Rick Stevens, that, you know, the thing falls down and it breaks into a million pieces. I mean, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it's particularly funny, but I do think that there are efforts to undermine our understanding of who we are as a people and who we are as a nation. Let me give you one example from a textbook that's used in Florida. The title of the textbook is United States Government, Our Democracy. Well, that should catch people's attention immediately, because people should know, and we're trying to help people recapture this idea, that we aren't a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And it's a huge and significant difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic. All over the nation, people who care about our country ought to start paying attention to their political figures, to their local politicians, and see if they use the term democracy, and challenge them to understand we're a constitutional republic. There is not an American alive that wants to live under a democracy, because a democracy means 50% plus one, and the majority can impose on anybody whatever they decide. A constitutional republic protects the rights of the minority, and that's very significant, has always been significant to Americans, and that's just one example of how we need to correct what's being taught and help people understand the vital significance of being a constitutional republic.
Yeah, that's a great explanation, Rick, that you put out there. I really appreciate you doing that, because there's a lot of misnomers on that. You're exactly right. And the word democracy is thrown around like a frisbee. I mean, people really don't know what the hell it even means. And I appreciate you putting that out there to understand that we are a republic. And people, again, when you take a look at that, the protection of people, I mean, that's what America was. I mean, that's what America is. You know, the thing that rattles my mind here, guys, is this. You know, you take a look at the world. There are a lot of countries, there are a lot of nations, a lot of opportunities out there for people who want to move to socialist countries. The world is full of them. I mean, dictators are running these countries and bad cast of characters all over the place. I mean, if that's what you want in your life, then certainly you can find a country that will serve your purpose really well. I mean, they're all over Europe, they're all over South America, I mean, they're all over the place, they're all over the world. But America is not that. And that's what I always say, Karen. Why can't they just take, it's like a lot of these celebrities and people that come out and say, well, such and such wins, I'm going to move out of the country. Well, damn well move, will you please?
Well, although I agree with you, that's not really what they think. What they're taught is that anything that is an opposing viewpoint is evil. And they are pure and good. And we, the opposition, are evil, and therefore anything that can be done to us can be done without consequence. And that's why we have going on what's going on in our country today.
That's so well said, Karen. That's so well said. I just got to talk. Let me talk to you on that, because what you're saying is so important. Nobody wants to hear the opposing viewpoint anymore.
In America, we are guaranteed, in Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution, a Republican form of government. So this is why the Constitution cannot be taught, because it doesn't say a democratic form of government.
Well, as you say, everybody's got an agenda. And Phil, this is kind of part of the problem. What you talked about a little bit ago here, which we speak about a lot on this platform, is the greed and the power that they seek. And they'll do anything to obtain and keep that greed and power. So it's not really love of country. It's love of their own name and their own love of their own greed and the fact that they want to be in charge. And as Pastor Rick was saying a minute, they want to control the people. They want to control the masses. You see?
There's three words that I use, and this is my description of what's going on.
Okay.
And it's money, power, control. They will control the people through the texts, through whatever mechanisms they can, through the media. Mm-hmm. And then everything, of course, they show you a child can't read. What's the problem? Not that they will never look at the problem of what's the curricula or how is the method of reading being taught.
Right.
What they say is, well, we just need some more money to straighten it out.
Well, it's always about money. You're exactly right. Last question I have for everybody. I want to go right around the table here in the last couple of moments we have here. And I want to ask you this, because this is a big conversation. I mean, we're not going to solve it all in this segment here, but we're going to come back to this. If we don't change what we're talking about right now in our country, what will we look like in another 50 years? Let me start with Pastor Rick Stevens. So I always think about that in those terms, Pastor Rick Stevens. Taking it forward 50 years from now, what do we look like?
Well, there's one thing that's certain. We will absolutely be unrecognizable. We will be a country of people who follow along and who realize that their opportunity passed them by and that they're trapped in their circumstance. They never imagined they would get there, and they won't know how to get out. It will be a deflated, demoralized country that will be on the decline and headed for more problems than you and I want to even imagine.
Yeah, certainly not something you want to leave to your kids and grandkids and future generations.
Absolutely
here, for sure.
Not.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
I think that if we don't speak up now, our children and our grandchildren will ask us one day, why were you silent? Why didn't you speak up when there was still an opportunity, still a chance to change things?
Well, it's funny you say it that way, Rick, because you know why? I often say this, and I'd say this not to be prideful or boastful, but we are headed to be the most screwed up generation in history. I say that very regretfully. You understand? Remember when Brockhart did that, the greatest generation, right? Remember that? Yeah. Well, we're the most screwed up generation in history. And that's something that you certainly don't want on our tombstone here for this generation. Here, Karen. Karen, what do we look like in 50 years from now?
Sadly, Venezuela.
Oh, boy.
We will be another third world country because open borders will be, their whole goal is a one world government controlled by the United Nations under their new term for communism called globalism.
Yeah, Agenda 21.
So they keep on changing the names, but yeah. It always is the same.
It's
definition.
Always the same. I love what you're saying. Yeah.
Got to change the textbooks. Got to change the methods so that both sides can be seen.
Right.
History must be clear, concise, and truthful so that the argument can be made. Mm-hmm. That's part of our republic, and it should be also instituted within our educational system, especially K-12. Mm-hmm. And if that is not done, as Rick and Karen have said, it's going to be misery.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so you all are so well spoken. I want to personally thank you, each of you, because you're all just you're patriots, clearly. But Pastor Rick Stevens, Karen Schoen, Phil Davis, stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, friends. And as I said to you up front with the show, there are two big things we need to pay attention to here. One, we just had that panel discussion on our education system. And what's really going on there? You heard from the educators, the indoctrination through K-12 and what's developing there. These are serious problems. I mean, we need to pay attention here. The next one is going to be what, you know, has not been solved for decades, and it's what you keep hearing in the news from the politicians, is the immigration program. But really, if you start to look at a lot of these states, people, if you look at, and I'm talking, it's not just California. I mean, that's just one piece. But you come right through. You talk about New Mexico. You could talk about Nevada. You can talk about any of these states, Texas, even southern Texas, which people say, oh, Texas is, you know, a deep red state. Well, it's changing. Look at Florida. Florida, I mean, it's, people think it's a red state. It's changing. All these states are changing. You see in the, see how close the elections are? I mean, they're minuscule. It's, and this is going to be the wave of the future now. It's no longer going to be these widespread elections. It's going to be, you know, 50.2%. And then you're going to have all this arguing and bickering on who won or who didn't win. That's what you got to look forward to, friends, here. I don't know. Let's dive into a next here, please, with our discussion here with Del Wilber. He's a former CIA and Department of Defense Intelligence and Counterterrorism Officer. He focuses on technical and human intelligence collection activities. Adele is a weekly columnist at America Out Loud. Dr. Ron Martinelli is back with us. As you know, he's a retired police detective, background of investigations, forensics, profiling, human factors. Dr. Ron is a columnist and a show host on America Out Loud as well, so you'll catch him there always. You'll hear his voice and Linda's voice, Talking While Married. They do a very interesting show at 8 p.m. You've got to tune in and hear. A lot of these states, where the political leanings are changing. They're now changing from red to blue states, and they're becoming borderline. And a lot of this is happening because of the infiltration of the immigration system. Now, you want to know why a lot of politicians are excited to keep the open borders and let everybody walk in. Well, because it's more power for them. If they can get all these people to vote for them in the campaign and the election, then they got the power that they seek. And that's kind of what we have happening here. I mean, Dell, you're seeing this in all the elections right now. You're seeing a lot of these states that are starting to turn. I mean, this has got to be a real big concern to people that are not paying attention. They're not really understanding the gravity of why we're having these close elections right now and why these states are turning the way they're turning. This is a big problem. What are we going to do about it?
Well, I mean, it is a big problem when you take Texas, for example. You know, Dallas is a blue city, Houston, Austin, obviously, El Paso. You start taking control of the major population centers in the state of Texas, and Texas is going to become a blue state. And as Texas goes, so goes the Electoral College.
So a lot of people think Texas is going to, they think it's red, it's going to be red. But you're seeing that that's not the case, Ron. You're seeing a lot of these races that are really, really close. In fact, take a look at the race of Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. That was a lot closer than people thought it would be, that Cruz would be in jeopardy. You were watching that race. But, I mean, you're kind of seeing some of the rumblings of this in Texas. Maybe it's not as far along as other states, but you're seeing it there, aren't you?
Well, sure. You know, they're going to do everything they can to turn Texas into a purple state, okay, right, and then later transform it into a blue state. Now, in Texas, we have Austin, which is where the University of Texas is, and that's just like the People's Republic of Berkeley in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a huge liberal bastion. I was just in Houston yesterday, and Houston has turned blue. Part of the reason for that is that we had a lot of people from New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina that moved to Houston. They were going to move temporarily, but they got about 75,000 people that decided, hey, Houston's not a bad place. Let's just live here. So that changed the complexity of Houston. As you said, Dallas has also changed. So what Dell says is very, very true. When you change the population centers, you start changing the fabric of the state. And to see Texas start to turn purple actually turns my stomach.
Yeah. Well, it's the urban markets. I mean, a lot of these urban markets, they're all very liberal run. I mean, that's the deal. And it's all over the place. That's why you've got the Northeast corridor and all up and down the East Coast here, but really up in the Northeast. And then you've got the West Coast, which is why a lot of people, there's a lot of movement from the left. They want to, at this point, there's a serious move to destroy the Electoral College. That became the big talking point after Trump. They definitely want a popular vote. Now, they've started to figure this out, why a popular vote is going to be the wave of the future, because then you can decide the elections from all the illegal immigrants on the West Coast and up in the Northeast.
I recall when I was young growing up in that, we had one day to vote, and that was Election Day.
That's right.
You actually got time off of work in order to go vote and everything. And I think all of this early voting and all of that, it just opens up opportunities for fraud. And as we've seen historically, as much as they want to deny it, Democrats are the ones who commit election fraud in this country by a huge margin over any that might be done by Republicans or any other party.
Well, we talked early on in the show about, and Ron, you remember that, about a national voter ID card. I had brought that topic up, that maybe it's time for that, right? That plays right into what we're talking about here. But here's another thought, Ron. What about I don't think we take the voting thing serious enough. So what if we made the day that we vote a national holiday? So what if everybody got that? Listen, we celebrate all kinds of things that are less important. Certainly, the salvation of this republic is the most vital vital important. Why don't we make that a national holiday, as Dell's just saying, and get rid of some of the shenanigans going on so people can all get in there and vote properly and we start to, you know, drill down a little bit here. What about that, Ron?
Well, you know, that's a great idea. It's actually the first time I've ever heard that. And I'll tell you what, that resonates with me. But it goes back to fixing this system. And politicians will complain all day long about it, but they'll do nothing to fix it. One of the big things that needs to be fixed is vetting the voter rolls. You got, you know, millions of dead people out there that are still on the voter rolls. We've got to have voter ID like we have it in Texas, and we cannot allow illegal aliens to vote. We can't let anybody but American citizens vote. And you see, there was 140 Congress people just recently that voted against voter ID. So, and guess what? They're all Democrats. Not a single one of those people are Republicans. So what do they want? They absolutely want these illegal aliens to vote. And we're seeing illegal aliens voting in about 12 states. That's absolutely ridiculous. If that allows, America is gone. You will never see a Republican administration ever again. And I'm already concerned about the 2020 elections and what follows.
Right.
Because if they let illegal aliens vote, if they give these people amnesty, we're done as a country. We're going to recess into a second world nation.
This one thing you're talking about right now is should be a driving principle for everybody. You can't do anything today, Dale, without showing an ID. I mean, it's a simple, I mean, even a basic ID. Again, I think we need a more sophisticated program. As I said early on in the program here, Dale, you know, Amazon can track thousands and millions of packages every day and get them to your home. Visa or MasterCard have very sophisticated programs where they can track us through these cards we have. Why don't we have a more sophisticated voter ID card that all Americans would have to have to be able to properly vote? I mean, it just makes logical sense, but yet I don't think we're exposing the people like Ron's just saying, all these politicians who voted against it. I mean, you don't hear a lot about that in the media. The media is complicit here, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's another thing that really bothers me, too. When I hear these politicians, particularly the Democrats, when they're in a tight race like down in Florida right now, they'll sit there and they'll say that every vote needs to be counted. Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, if you can't go to the polling place and figure out the ballot, which is written for a third grader, if you're too stupid to figure out how to vote, then you shouldn't vote, as far as I'm concerned, because it means I'll probably get beat up for this, but it probably means you're too damn stupid to understand what the issues are and what you're voting for in the first place.
Well, they probably don't even know who they're voting for at that point. You're exactly right. I mean, other than looking for a D or an R, what else would you possibly know? They don't know. And that's a valid point you make there that some people may find offensive. But, you know, it is too bad, so sad, because we're not tracking this. I mean, you take a look at what's happening in Florida right now with the voting mechanisms and all the shenanigans being played there. I mean, they're finding, you know, it was well over 93,000 votes in a car, a truck or something, and they're not able to track things properly. She's mixing votes back and forth. There's Brenda Snipescale. There's all kinds of shenanigans being played out there. And that's on the national spotlight. But how much more of that is out there? And then, Ron, as you say, all these illegals that are voting, and it is happening. This isn't theory. This isn't conspiracy. It's happening. Your right to vote means you have to get there by 7 p.m. What they're doing now is a lot of people waited beyond that and then tried to vote. Well, that's closed. At some point, you have to call. You know, at some point, it's over. It's done. You have to tally this thing up. They're still trying to count votes. The politicians are coming out with this talking point to say, to hand to the media, as you're just saying, Dale, well, every vote's got to count. Well, that's not the law, people. Every vote does not have to count. Every vote has to count that gets in properly on time, that is by the law. And then those votes count. But if you take your damn old sweet time, or you do whatever it is you want to do, or you don't have the proper right to vote, now, every vote doesn't have to count, Ron.
No, I totally agree. And part of the problem that we have is we have such an uneducated electorate. And I'm sure that your educators, and I was one for many years, you know, talked about how the schools have been infiltrated and yeah, corrupted, and how these kids are growing up. They have no educational, no historical context. When you combine that,
that's right,
with the current anti-Trump resist movement, the lack of patriotism, and voting for power instead of the nation, you're going to have problems. Let me just point out this whole, because you brought up Beto O'Rourke versus Senator Ted Cruz here in Texas.
Right.
Here we have Beto O'Rourke, who is an open borders advocate right up front, doesn't try to hide it at all, and also very anti-law enforcement. When you get a close race like that, to me, that's scary. You would vote for open borders just to have a Democrat in office to increase power rather than the safety and security of the United States? You got to be crazy. And I am seeing intelligent people,
right,
people with money, voting for this guy.
Well, he got tens of millions of votes. And look at Gillum in Florida, how close that race is for governor here, right? Correct?
Exactly.
I mean,
it's scary.
It's very scary. Here's a man that is so left-wing socialist. I mean, he's in the same limelight as Ocasio-Cortez, who won up in New York. And a lot of people are saying, well, he didn't have a shot. Well, really, if you look at the state of Florida, I mean, people believe that DeSantis should have won this vote by 20 percentage points. When you look at the policy and the platform of a Gillum, of an Andrew Gillum. Listen, I mean, I never thought, honestly speaking to all of you out there, I never thought in my lifetime we would be talking about socialism in this country the way we're talking about socialism. I never seen this coming. I mean, truth be told, I just did not realize that this was a serious conversation we'd be having here, that we'd have candidates on the ballots, and we'd be talking about people that had a far-left socialist agenda, communist, if you will. As you heard in the last segment, we're talking about the education system, same problem. These people have overrun our universities and our K-12 education system, and they are pushing this Marxist, socialist, communist agenda down everybody's throat. I mean, you heard that in the last segment.
Unfortunately, we sat back and allowed this to happen because the people that that are involved in this movement now, I mean, they started quite some time ago taking over, you know, state and local community offices. They ran for subdivision association board membership. They, you know, they started out at the grassroots level, and the next thing you know, they're running for national office. And we're looking back and scratching our heads and going, what happened? They control our schools now. They control our election boards. They control our city councils. It's unfortunately something that we sat back and allowed to happen.
We've let it all happen, but we can't continue to let it happen. I mean, something has to change here, because if it doesn't change, we're in a heap of trouble. Please do me a favor, friends out there, please. Take this serious. Everything we're talking about right now, please take it serious. I want you to get this information out there. Share this vital information. Let people know about the talk we're having right now. You hear people like Del Wilbur here. You hear the patriots on this show today. Patriotism is alive and well at America Out Loud. You hear Dr. Ron Martinelli. And you hear the passion behind all of the people today on this program, my friends. And we are on the front lines here. We are doing the heavy lifting, and we need you to get involved, and we need to push this message out there. So please, make it your business to make this message resonate out in the public sphere. Get people engaged in this process. God forbid, let's not wake up 20 and 50 years from now and find out that we're living in another land somewhere. That, as Mr. Wilbur says, we are Venezuela. It should scare the hell out of you. And you ought to be ashamed if you're not doing something about it. Friends, you can email us back at talk@americaoutloud.com. We will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle, just not communist or Marxist opinions, huh? We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.